If I could be a superhero, I would be Awesome Man. I'd fly around the world fighting crime according to my awesome plan. And if I saw criminals trying to lie, hurting other people and making them cry, I'd haul them off to jail in my awesome van. 'Cause I would be Awesome Man. If I could be a superhero, I would be Drug-Free Boy, telling the world of the evils of drugs and all of the lives they destroy. Well, I'd take all those junkies getting so high with their needles and bongs and their sticks made of tie. As I burn them alive, I would squeal with joy, 'cause I would be Drug-Free Boy. If you could be a superhero, would you be Justice Guy? Making sure people get what they deserve, especially women who lie. Like if a wife left her husband with 3 kids and no job to run off to fucking Hawaii with some doctor named Bob. You could skin them and drain them of blood so they die, especially that motherfucker Bob. Then you would be Justice Guy. Yes, then you would be a superhero like me. And fuck you guys.
Thank you!
Hi, and welcome to Hater and Gamer. I'm Robert Williams, the hater.
I'm Charles Bigham, the gamer.
And I'm Dustin Velasquez, and I love Lamp.
Today we're going to discuss current events. We're going to have a dead baby joke-off, and we're talking about superhero video games. So, hit our frackin' music!
Baby, baby, it looks like it's gonna hail. Baby, baby, it looks like it's gonna hail. You better come inside, let me teach you how to jive and wail. Oh, you gotta jump, jive.
And now, time for current events, current events, current events. Bill Clinton didn't inhale. Current events.
Yeah.
This is the part of the show where we turn to our new producer, Lorena Deadshot Martin, and she's going to read us off some current happenings in the non-Matrix version world, and here we go.
Alrighty, so first set of business, we have a 260-pound teen who's suing the Rachel Ray Show because she says that the trainer made her run like Forrest Gump.
The trainer made her run like Forrest Gump? Like, he put steel on her legs and made her waddle?
No, I think she made her run through a field of mines.
While carrying Gary Sinise on her shoulders? That's not that hard. Gary Sinise is like 4'2". Or was it because she gathered a whole bunch of people that kept yelling, "Run, Forrest! Run! Run, Forrest! Run!"
Now, are we talking Forrest Gump like the original Forrest Gump, or are we talking about Forrest Gump backwards, you know, Benjamin Button?
No, we're talking... That's no. All right, let's see here. Next up is Hugh Jackman had a stalker throw her pubic hair at him while he was working out.
Now, I've heard of collecting hair, but having someone go, "Look, collect my hair."
All right, that's actually kind of redundant. Have you seen how hairy Hugh Jackman is begin with?
That's why she did it, because she said she didn't like his whiskers.
So
I don't like your whiskers. Ah,
take mine. Cut yours off. Just glue mine in specific spots.
Was she angry because it like roughed her up when he went down on her or something? Like,
oh, wait, I have a question. Would this mean new meaning for mustache ride? That was too far. Awesome.
Yeah, but now every time he looks at himself in the mirror, he's going to be like, "Which is hers?"
or he's just going to look in the mirror and go...
What happened? Did he realize what happened, or was it first like, who brought tuna?
Alrighty, now
someone got a hair in my tuna.
The next one is there's a new trend going on YouTube of teens who are now snorting condoms up their nose.
Whoa! Say that again clearly into the microphone.
There are now teens who are snorting condoms up their nose. Well, they're snorting condoms.
You know what?
And it's like a new trend on YouTube.
You know what?
No, you have something to say to this?
Yeah.
It's teens snorting condoms. There is nothing to say to this.
At least they're not putting their dicks in each other's ears.
Yeah. All right.
So that was not as funny as I thought it was going to be.
It's only
funny.
It's just true. That is true.
I began to laugh, and it wasn't that funny.
Is this like safe drugs? Now they put the cocaine in the condom and then snort it?
Oh, are they snorting brass monkeys? Because that's... Do you guys not know what a brass monkey is?
You're 0 for 2.
What is part of this segment that you should... Last episode, I was forced to cut the third segment because Dustin did just this.
No. For those who don't know, a brass monkey is a condom full of cocaine that you usually smuggle up your ass. Made famous by the Beastie Boys song, Brass Monkey. That funky monkey.
I get it.
So, are they snorting brass monkeys? This is a legitimate question. Not even trying to be funny. You can go fuck yourself, Robert.
I'm actually envisioning why they called it a brass monkey, and I'm understanding.
Right?
That's all I got.
Well, this has been enlightening current events. Next segment. So, ever since man, and I'm talking male humans, ever since man was young, we've been playing this game in high school called Marry, Fuck, Kill. I think a very popular one once was King Henry VIII, King Louis XIV, and Marie Antoinette. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I think Henry took this one a little too far. You're supposed to pick which one you'll do it to, not do it every single one to every single person.
Yeah. He also played the game for realsies. So, Deadshot, give us some names.
All right, got it. We got Alf, Elmo, or the chef from Muppets.
Wow. I never thought this would happen. My childhood. All right, Slims.
I would have to kill... I'll just go off straight up and just say kill.
Go straight for the gusto.
Why not? I'd have to kill Alf. Because he just talks way too much. I would probably fuck Elmo. Because no matter what you do to him, no matter what sick, perverted, he's always giggling. Good times for all. And I would marry the chef. Because, you know, he doesn't talk back. He just cooks. Like every good wife should.
That was pretty good.
Alright, well, I will start with Mary. I'll marry the chef. Same reasons. It's a very good reason to marry the chef. Not a lot of talking and a lot of cooking. I would fuck Alf. Prison rules. You have to understand.
Okay.
Let's not forget that Alf ate kittens. This is what he did. Yeah. Killing him is not good enough. Fucking him every day to remind him where his fucking place is. That is it. And you have to kill Elmo because that bitch is annoying. And he fucks children.
Okay. Being as in the non-Matrix, I am on the other side of the marriage thing from these two. I have to say, you're wrong about the chef. He doesn't bitch because he's not married to you. Okay, so marrying him is just gonna make it's just gonna ruin. You're just gonna be like, I made the wrong fucking choice. Okay, so I would marry Alf because at least when he's talking shit on you, he's funny.
1980s funny.
1980s funny is better than. Burr, 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 bur dishes, okay? All right. So I would have to. I was so concentrated on who I was going to marry.
So who would you fuck?
Yeah. Who would I fuck?
Elf?
No, you're going to marry
him.
You married him. You can't fuck him.
Right. Exactly.
It's marriage. You don't have sex in marriage.
The married man would know.
I would fuck the Swedish chef. Yeah. And I would fuck the Swedish chef not because he's the Swedish chef or because he'll cook for me or any of that, but because I have to kill Elmo. He's fucking annoying.
And mustaches drive Robert Wilde.
Next one. Who else do we got? Do we got anyone else?
Wonder Woman, Hot Girl, and the Invisible Woman.
Wonder Woman, Hot Girl, and the Invisible Woman. Hawk Girl?
Hawk Girl from Justice League.
Oh, fuck me. All right. I would have to say I would probably marry the Invisible Woman because I don't have to look at her.
You're a douche.
Problem is, I've now left two people that really can't be killed. Fuck it. I don't think I have a choice in this one. Wonder Woman would probably fuck me because she's much stronger than I. And I'd have to try to kill the Hawk Girl, but she can fly. And has a mace. Doesn't she have a mace?
Yes.
Fuck me. You know what? Can I redo that? No, I'm sticking with it. Done.
I would fuck Hawk Girl because I want to do that aerial flying fucking. No, fucking above New York City.
You'd be spitting on New York City.
Yeah, I would be dumping my load all over Wall Street. I need to make a deposit at a few banks. Anyways, and then I would have to marry the Invisible Woman and kill Wonder Woman because I cannot marry a woman who has a lasso of truth and just wants to get any fucking question she wants out of me. Whatever the fuck she wants, that ain't happening.
I knew a girl named Nikki, I guess you could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine. She said, how'd you like to waste some time? And I could not resist when I saw little Nikki grind.
So, last episode, we had just rented Bioshock Infinite, and we were going to sit down and play it, and that turned into the gamer sitting down and playing it, start to finish. So, with as much bitterness as I could dredge up, why don't you tell us about Bioshock Infinite, gamer?
Wait, you beat the game?
Yes, I did.
You need a life.
Well, first off, I played it on the hardest difficulty. Huh. And I died a lot. A lot.
I just had one question. Was it anything like Avatar?
Yes. There was quite a few moments where I was flying through clouds.
Good. Any blue people? Or the Na'vi?
No, because in Bioshock Infinite, turns out, it's one big racist town.
That is the most racist video game I have ever played in my life.
I have to play this game! Oh my god!
It is horribly racist. In fact, spoilers, there is a moment where you are given a baseball, and you have a choice. You could either...
Spoiler.
This is in the beginning. Of the game.
Spoiler.
You could either nail the announcer who gave you the baseball, or hit an interracial couple surrounded by monkey decorations with the baseball.
Not an exaggeration.
Monkey decorations?
At the beginning of the game.
Oh my god, I now have a reason to live.
There was, over a microphone, there was a guy saying, what are these people trying to be emancipated from? They have a good job. They have a home.
Please tell me that they said that, like, we are giving them everything because we're trying to keep them busy.
I saw a portrait on the wall of John Wilkes Booth with a halo around his head, pointing a gun at Abraham Lincoln with devil horns.
No, not too far after that painting, there is a giant statue in John Wilkes Booth's honor. It's basically the entire town. The entire town wanted to go up into the sky, and they made it happen and all this kind of stuff. But the president, and they were helping the president with the economy in some way. I didn't finish the game. And then the president decided he didn't want them to go up into the sky. He didn't want this racist, segregationist town to just disappear up into the clouds and rule from above. So they seceded from the Union.
Oh, this takes place in 1909?
Okay, so...
1909.
So here's my question. You're saying this is the most racist game you've ever played. Or close to.
Played, not seen.
Okay, so my question to you is, did Tarantino write this script?
No, he did not. But he advised.
I was going to say.
Because there's a lot of dialogue.
Is DiCaprio the villain? Because that'd make me really happy.
Yeah. Very well could be. There was a lot of beard.
Holy shit. So
past the story, gameplay, the shooting was awesome. Lots of really cool weapons, really cool upgrade system. They've changed the powers. Instead of being called plasmids, now they're called vigors. But there were some pretty cool ones, like throwing fireballs, shooting crows at people that peck them to death, and throwing out a water tentacle that can pull people towards you, and a thunder punch that you can send them flying. The skyline, zipping around the skyline, was really cool. Highlight had to be the bad guy, the handyman, giant robotic guy, human head with giant hands, jumping halfway across the map, chasing after you, electrocuting the skyline so you couldn't go on him, and just fucking shit up. But the end of the story, which I will not spoil here, was one of those endings that has you confused. And the last time I was this confused was when I saw Mulholland Drive.
Okay. My question to you is, how does it compare to the last two games?
Well, I never played number two. I have it, never played it. Hater talked about it last episode. The first one actually had a twist that no one could see it coming. Thank you kindly. No one could see that shit coming. This, you could see it coming.
Does it live up to the hype?
The combat does. Story-wise, I don't believe so.
All the hype I heard was for story.
Because, like, the one big thing is the tears. You know, like, you have this character named Elizabeth. She can open these tears to different dimensions and bring stuff into your dimension. And there's this whole aspect to the game where you're jumping from dimension to dimension. Not just bringing stuff into your dimension, but actually going into an alternate reality where, you know, this guy just got killed. Well, in this one, he didn't. Okay, now we went to this one where these people need his weapons. They don't have them. Now they do. I personally would have liked to seen there's this reality and this reality. Which one are you going to? You know, there's consequences if you go to that reality. There's consequences if you go to this reality. But it's your choice to make. You actually had to press the button for her to open the tear to go to this new dimension, but you didn't actually have a choice. It was, you're going through this, but press the button to go there anyways.
So... would you like to, before you get to your rating system, explain your rating system?
It's really simple. It's just the three B's, borrow, buy, and burn. You know, should you just borrow the game or, you know, go through like a rental, like a Redbox? Should you just destroy the game because it's an awful, horrible piece of crap that should never have been created? Or should you, in fact, go buy it for anywhere to 40 to 60 bucks, depending on, you know, how high caliber the game actually is?
So, with that rating scale in mind, how do you rate this game?
Given the replayability and the different ways that you just go about, you know, leveling up your character and the actual story and combat, I would definitely give this a buy.
Awesome.
Okay, you heard it here. BioShock Infinite, buy it.
Next up, I guess they just announced the new Batman Arkham game, the Arkham Origins game.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm conflicted, guys. I'm a huge fan of Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. I like City better. You'll find from me that if I beat a game, that means that it was something special. Okay, because usually I just get annoyed with the game anywhere from a third to a halfway through, and I just put it down and never pick it back up.
Especially when you have the Gamefly account.
Especially when I have the Gamefly account, which, with your donations, I'll be able to get Gamefly again. So donate here at, if you do this, you're fucking stupid. Okay, so...
I'm excited. I'm excited because... It's going to be a little bit different. They're going to go back a little bit further. There's going to be Deadshot, and I love Deadshot. That's my boy. I'm not referring to you, Lorena. You're not my boy.
You're in fact a girl.
You are a girl.
A female.
But I know that they switched from Rockstar to this... to this Montreal thing, but the graphics I've seen, the stills I've seen coming out of it, you can't tell the difference.
Gamer, give us some quick details about this thing so we have the background before we continue to discuss.
Well, I don't know the voice actor's exact name, but the guy who actually voiced Batman, who did the 1990s...
Kevin Conroy.
Batman. He's not doing the voice of Batman this time.
What? Wait, what?
He's not doing the voice. Rocksteady is not working on this. It's actually WB Montreal this time.
Did they explain why he's not doing it?
No, he just tweeted that he's not. That's all.
That changes my opinion strongly about this now. I'm starting to wonder if this is a shoddy B product. If this is like Aladdin 2, Return of Jafar.
Wow, I liked that when I was a kid. I liked that one.
That was a good one.
Lilo and Stitch 2. Lilo and Stitch 2. Is that better for you?
Yes, thank you.
That's exactly what I was conflicted about. The two predecessors were very story driven. They were the gameplay was amazing, but the gameplay is already there. We saw it in Arkham Asylum. We were wowed. Arkham City, they refined it a little bit, but it was still pretty much the same gameplay, which was fine. I love the gameplay. There's nothing that this one's going to be able to show us gameplay that's not going to make us get annoyed that they changed this awesome gameplay. So it's all about story. Kevin Conroy's not going to do it. Wow. Guaranteed, Mark Hamill said last time that Arkham City was his last project as the Joker. So you don't have Mark Hamill. Even though it's a prequel, you don't have the Joker? What's the point?
Well, WB Montreal has already come out and said that they're going to be using basically the same exact engine that they use for City. WB Montreal is also, they were in charge of putting together the Batman Arkham City Armored Edition, which was the version for the Wii U. So they already had some hands-on experience with the engine and know how it works. Right now, a big thing that a lot of people are interested in that's also around this is the two other Batman games are coming. Well, it's one Batman game for two systems. For the 3DS and for the PS Vita, they're coming out with Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate, which, if you don't know much about the Batman actual universe, Blackgate was the other prison.
Yeah, that's the prison, not the asylum.
Yeah, and...
And in Arkham City, it was a section of Gotham that was cut off from the rest of Gotham, and they dumped all the prisoners from Blackgate and all the patients from Arkham Asylum into the city and said, live there.
This DS and Vita game is being made by Retro. The head of Retro worked on the Metroid Prime games, which was the first-person shooter Metroid games that were actually
pretty cool.
They were actually quite a huge hit. So they're going to be making it a Batman side-scrolling 2.5D action-adventure game, much like Metroid and Castlevania.
Cool. Why is Rocksteady not doing this project?
They have not come out and said why, but I can only imagine since it was, a year and a half since Rocksteady worked on Arkham City, that they've been spending all this time, plus whenever they're actually going to announce it, working on their next game, because this game literally made Rocksteady Rocksteady. People only know of Rocksteady because of Batman Arkham Asylum. They came out of nowhere and made this game.
Well, see, this leads me to another part of this discussion. Batman, the Arkham games were amazing. So, and I say amazing a lot, obviously.
But that's true. These were it's not just amazing, they were groundbreaking games.
Would right. you say that they put the proof in the pudding?
Yes. They were great games, but there are other titles, there are other superhero titles out there. Some ranging from horrible to...
Superman 64.
To
Superman Returns.
To replayable multiple times, like Spider-Man 2.
I did love Spider-Man 2.
I played a lot of Spider-Man 2.
A lot.
But you know what? I don't think I finished that game. I was too busy web-slinging everywhere. Like, I just had so much fun web-slinging through there. You know, it is a good point. Let's not forget, we hold these Arkham games on such a pedestal, but I guess it's because there were so many horrible Batman games beforehand. Batman Forever comes to mind,
that was
where you
bad.
Listen to Kiss from but the Rose.
Here's the problem. You say that Batman Forever was a horrible game. How many hours did you log on that game? Because I know I put a good 30 to 40 hours playing around with my friends, playing on their
I played a lot of the animated series games. I didn't like Batman Forever. The same reason why I didn't like Street Fighter, the movie game. I don't like the whole, like, I'm going to digitize, like, a human being and then try to pass it off. Only one I accept is Mortal Kombat. But, you know, there's also Iron Man, which was really not fun. Like,
God, those were awful.
Yeah.
I just don't...
There's a lot of bad ones.
And I'm hoping, when you said... That Rocksteady might be working on something. I'm hoping they're working on something like that might revive Superman.
Yeah.
I mean, dear Lord, Superman is the hardest character to get right. He's such a noble freaking person, and all he does is fly and hit people, which should be fun, but why hasn't it ever been fun?
It's because it's so hard to do. With every video game, you have this life meter, and when this life meter goes down, you die. Superman's not one of those people that has a fucking life meter. He's this invincible force that goes around destroying anyone that gets in his path.
Okay, but check this out. What if you took Superman game, you still made it a Smallville game? Which means a lot of annoying, stupid storylines that don't really go anywhere, but it also means you acquire your powers slowly.
The other way I would accept it is actually if they did like a JLA game, like a Justice League America game, and you were like a new entry into the Justice League. You got to play as each of the characters. You got to play as a Superman, got to play as a Wonder Woman, got to play as whatever those were, but you also play as your own new character, and that would maybe be an interesting way. Because you're right, there's no good way. Maybe you could do it with a Smallville, but there's no good way. Superman's invincible. It's pointless.
They even proved it in the most recent game to have Superman in it, which was...
Is that this Injustice one?
No. Lego DC Super Heroes.
Oh, I wanted to play that.
Yes. If you play that game, all you have to be is Superman. He can literally fly around, get every collectible he needs, blow up any wall he needs to blow up.
Are you automatically Superman, or do you have to work to get
you
Superman?
You just get to a level where you can play Superman, and then you unlock him. You know, but then you can go back to any map and free play as Superman.
I know, but you know what? I played Batman Lego, and it pissed me off, like, to no avail, so maybe playing a Superman with that would be a lot of fun.
Well, the newest one you actually could play is, like, Cyborg, Robin, and a bunch
of
other
Superman.
Characters.
Go fuck yourself. Superman.
Okay, coming in a little short on time here, guys. If you guys can give me your opinions on the board game Zombicide.
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 Ooh. For those of you that don't know, I'm going to steal the gamer's thunder, even though he's the one who introduced it to me.
No!
Nobody cares. Zombicide is a board game. It's a cooperative board game. You can play with... any number of players, including one player. It's got rules for one player gaming. And basically, you cooperate in order to achieve your objectives. Now, your objectives may be you need to gather food or water or whatever, or it may just be you need to get to this X on the square. And that seems simple enough, especially considering if you play with three people, each of you, by the rules of the game, play at least two characters. So it seems easy enough, except that every turn... Every turn, zombies spawn on the map. And every time you open up a door, you spawn zombies for each room. And it's not even randomly. You would think it's randomly, but it's not even randomly. They have cards. The cards themselves are numbered in order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And each one has a certain number of zombies for each threat level the characters are. You level up killing zombies gives you experience. The experience converts into levels. Those levels are in different color orders. There's blue, there's yellow, orange, and finally red. And the higher you are up, the more zombies get spawned in each location each time.
I want to clarify that if one of your team members levels up, you are now at that level. So if everyone is like at the bottom level and they move to the next level, you're all fucked if one person goes up there.
Because the zombies spawn at the highest level. So if you have one jackass who likes to go out in front of everything, in fact, I'm going to illustrate the story a different way. You just played Zombicide with your daughter, did you not, gamer?
Yes, I played with my daughter and my ex, and we were playing, and she decided, oh, look, that's a cool car. She was looking at the Pimpmobile, she got in it and started mowing down zombies left and right, and she was playing as Amy, so she had an extra move, she was able to go very far with this car. About 2-3 turns later, she was in the orange.
Oh, Lord.
And me and my ex were still in the blue.
And mind you, the blue, you get out of the blue after, like, level 3, okay? So it's really hard to stay blue.
That's hard,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, so we were trying to explain to her, but she was having too much fun just seeing the piles of zombies that were coming out. And mowing them down.
Which, of course, meant that Gamer had to spend his time every time going, okay, so I need 4 walkers, and he has to reach into his little case and go, 4 walkers, and then there's 2 runners, and here's a fatty that spawns with 2 walkers, and he has to do this every time, and then his daughter goes, and mows down all the zombies, so now he has to take them off the board, but it's a new turn. And he didn't get to do anything because she was wasting the time killing the zombies, so he had to spawn them all again.
You know, the last time I played, we ran out of zombies to put on the board. There was about 7 of us playing, and, we all died. We all died.
Yeah, we also had a moment where we had a lot of zombies on the board.
Well, there's a rule. In the rules, there's a rule for that, for when you don't have any more zombies physically to put on the board.
Yeah, if you're, say you have no more walkers and you're supposed to spawn 5 more walkers in, 5 walkers that are already on the board get a second turn.
So, which means you have now, basically what it is
thus
walkers,
why we died.
The walkers move 1 space. They have 1 action. Each turn is done by action points. So the walkers have 1 action, which means they can move 1 space or they can attack. You give them 2, they can move and attack, and after just 2 hits from any zombie, your character's dead.
Yep. So let's say you open a door, and the first thing that happens is a zombie pops. Oh no, you turn a damn card! Let's say you have nothing else to do, and you're like, fuck it, I'll turn a card. Boom! I just got bit by a goddamn zombie.
Well, more because that wouldn't really because they when they spawn they don't attack.
It's not that, it's the cards that are there.
But if you open up a door and right in front of you is a runner which gets 2 action points, you just got bit. There's nothing you can do about it. You just got bit.
All right. So
one of my favorite things about Zombicide, besides all the stuff we were talking about, is the fact that the developers give you so much tools to make your own game out of it. They give you blank cards to make your own characters. They give you blank cards so you can make your own weapons. They give you a map editor that you can put on your computer so you can create your own giant map. We're planning on building a giant city to play this game on.
What I like about it is I've played the game 5 times so far. And I know I've played it 5 times because the book comes with like 12 missions for you to play that they've actually written, because it can be done like a role-playing game. It actually has missions. So I've played up to mission 5. So I guess 6 times if you include the prologue. And I have had 6 completely different experiences. 6 different zombie scenarios every time.
And I have died 6 different ways. Because I'm always the one that sacrifices himself for the team.
What I like about it is everyone can play. As you heard, his daughter played. How old's your daughter?
8.
Anyone can play this game. It's as simple as it can be, and sometimes the simplest games are the best games.
Dustin's horrible moment of the day. Dustin.
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 He's an asshole.
Alrighty. This week, our horrible moment comes from Reddit. As we all know, the Boston Marathon was a tragedy. But, in happier news, the Boston Paralympic team announced 23 new members.
Oh my god!
The fuck, damn!
You're a horrible person,
Dustin.
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 He's an asshole.
Alrighty. So the big talk coming out of the wrestling world lately is the fans. The fans have been getting more vocal. These are fans that have been attributed to the Attitude Era, where they just yelled whatever they wanted to. They were loud and unstoppable, and they really made people.
And we missed you. We really, really missed you.
How do you guys... You guys watched the infamous Raw, where the fans finally took back the WWE.
Yeah, right after the horrible WrestleMania.
Well, that's why. Fans are fucking sick of it. They're fucking sick of this shit. We've got a group of friends that are hardcore wrestling people.
That's a nice way of putting
yeah.
it.
Well, hey, they're gonna be listening to our podcast, we listen to their podcast, so we're gonna be kind. They are getting sick of WWE, and they are hardcore fans of wrestling. That is their gimmick. We follow all sorts of nerdy trends, but that's all they follow is just the wrestling, and they're sick of it. Fans are done with this crap,
and they're really starting to speak up about the stuff they're sick of. They're sick of John Cena being the John Cena that we've seen for the last 7 years, chanting same old shit at him. They're sick of the bad storylines that have been going on. They're sick of the people that they don't want to see being pushed down their throats and the people they want to see being pushed into the back. And they are vocal. They are vocal. To where two of arguably the biggest stars in the industry right now, Sheamus and Randy Orton, cannot garner the attention of them. You know, I've watched other days that this has happened, and it's spreading to their other shows, to their developmental talent, and it's getting louder and louder. I have to say that this is, as a wrestling fan, I've been watching for a long time as well. I'm in it. I'm in this world.
Well, you said that they were like the Attitude Era fans.
Yes.
I disagree. I have never seen anything like this in my life. They were chanting wrestler... I mean, I've heard the chanting wrestlers' names that aren't even there, but usually they're at least connected with the storyline. These guys were humming Fandango's music because they were bored, and that's the only reason they were doing it. They were bored. Now, yes, they took... yes,
it's taken on a whole
different... It's taken on a whole new thing, but that's wrestling.
But well, you're right.
No. There was also during the Randy Orton Sheamus match.
JBL.
Yeah, they're chanting for the announcer's name.
JBL, Michael Cole. Who
RVD, ECW, any person or affiliation that's ever been with the WWE that had three letters in their name got a shout out that night. HBK.
Hey, I didn't hear ICP. But it was
affiliated.
They were. The ICP wrestled for WWE.
Oh, that's
right. They started the Job Squad. And there are always Juggalos in the crowd.
But
you don't have to look far to see a hatchet.
It was amazing. You know it was truly special. And you know it's truly special. You know that this is a change in the game. It threw everyone.
A change in the game,
I am the game.
Well, the funniest thing that we saw was when Randy Orton and Sheamus were wrestling, they were like, what the fuck is going on?
The announcers didn't know what to do. Cena was obviously ruffled. I give Cena props.
Cena was. I saw that.
But I give him props because that's the scene I've been wanting to see where he was like, you want to give me shit? I'm going to give you shit. I've never danced for a victory, but I'll dance for you tonight just to piss you off more. I loved it. Audiences like this will show you the true metal of the wrestlers they have. And it will really time test them. And I'm excited to see where it goes. And I hope the fans, if you're a fan out there, please keep being vocal, keep being loud.
And they're cheering for the bad guys, too.
Oh.
They're cheering for
Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler's title win, spoiler, Dolph Ziggler's title win had to be the loudest ovation for someone cashing in the Money in the Bank I've ever heard.
Okay, let me talk a little bit off topic for a second. We keep saying spoilers over and over again, and I understand the reasoning for saying spoilers, but when the episode's a week late, it's not a fucking spoiler.
Right,
okay, fine. This was a Raw that happened more than a Raw ago. Okay?
That's fine. That's true. Now, you guys got to see this. Lesnar being the beast that he should have been at WrestleMania.
The only moment from this week's Raw that I've seen, yes.
Oh, and my God.
It's the only moment I need to see.
Oh, my God. Lesnar, in 3 minutes, proved why he is a former UFC champion, why he's a former three-time WWE champion, and deserving of only working
and
20 dates for almost $20
million. And he's also proved that he is a wizard, because the only way he could have gotten to the outside of that ring in time to cut off that dude was apparating, okay?
Yeah, I didn't know a man with calves that small could move that fast. What they need to do next, and the only logical progression for Lesnar, is for him to fight a bear. There's no other way. He has to fight a bear.
Yeah, but the older Vince McMahon get, the more plausible that becomes.
You know what? He did F5. A shark once.
Well, Mark Henry's already wrestling Sheamus, so he can't wrestle Brock Lesnar.
No. I didn't say a gorilla. I said a bear. But, oh my God. Him kicking the crap out of everyone. The fan, once again, the loud fans loving it.
Yeah, he's supposed to be the bad
guy.
And then Big Show, when he came out and beat up Randy and Sheamus.
Oh yeah,
they're
lost.
They're cheering for Big Show.
This is it. Either the WWE will take notice, or the fans will take the show. That's what's going to have to happen.
Or the fans will eventually go away.
And that's the saddest truth of it all.
Because I would be extremely pissed to have paid the money I would have had to pay to be up front at that WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I wouldn't watch the current WWE product with any give a shit if I were in high school still.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful statement. These fans are going to grow up, and they're not going to be replaced by new fans. Now, there is hope on the horizon. As soon as Vince McMahon finally dies...
Or finally realizes that Triple H just needs to run.
So finally dies, Triple H will be taken over. And Triple H will do a lot of good for the program. But with as much power as Triple H has now behind the scenes, and with as little as the program is changing now, it tends to make me think that Triple H has learned too well under the tutelage of Vince McMahon, and that his taking over will prolong WWE, but not save it.
But Triple H has had no real power on the main roster. I watch their developmental program, NXT. I watch it because it's good. That's where Triple H has done it. Triple H, more so than Vince, maybe because he was a wrestler, knows how to push a star to their best potential. He does what Paul Heyman did best, which is, you might not be the best wrestler, but you have this about you and will make this sell. That is what Triple H has found. He has found some people. He's also now taking people that have wrestled before. They're not training new wrestlers. He's finding indie talent that already got their fucking knocks on the road. So, we'll see what happens. All I can say is just, fans, keep voicing your opinions, because it's you guys that will make the change.
Yeah, we want some more Funkadactyls.
Somebody call my mama!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there's been a challenge thrown down. A joke-off challenge between the hater, the gamer, and Lamp. Baby edition. Ladies, are you ready?
Yes.
Let's do this. Begin!
How many babies does it take to paint a house?
How many?
Depends on how hard you throw them.
What's the difference between a pile of dead babies and a Corvette? I don't put a tarp on my Corvette.
What's the difference between a pile of babies and a table?
What?
I have a table in my house.
What's a red and peach mixed up together? What? Baby in a blender. What's green and brown and black?
What?
Same baby 2 weeks later.
What's red and bubbling and scratching at a window?
What?
Baby in a microwave.
I'm 27. How old are you?
28.
What's the best part about having sex with 27-year-olds? There's 20 of them.
So we have updated this to straight pedophilia. Okay, I'm still in this game. Little boy's walking with a man into the middle of the woods. Little boy says, "Mister, I'm really scared." The man goes, "You're scared. I have to walk back alone."
Why did the baby drop its lollipop? Because it was hit by a truck.
What's the hardest part about being a pedophile? Fitting in.
What's the hardest thing about being a pedophile? Getting the blood out of the clown suit when you're done.
How do you make a baby float? You take your foot off its head.
what do Michael Jackson and McDonald's have in common?
What?
They both put 4-year-old meat between 5-year-old buns.
Well, what's the best part about fucking an 8-year-old girl?
What?
Flipping her over pretending she's a 6-year-old boy.
What's the worst part about a pile of dead babies?
What?
One alive baby at the bottom eating its way out. What's worse than that?
Oh.
What's worse than that?
What's worse than that?
Going back for seconds.
What's worse than 5 dead babies in a trash can?
1 dead baby in 5 trash cans?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. I've had a break.
All right. You have a pile of dead and alive babies. How do you tell the difference?
Oh.
Pitchfork. Dead one. Dead one. Whoa, this one's a wiggler.
How do you know it's bedtime at Neverland Ranch? Oh. When the big hand touches the little hand.
What's the difference between Michael Jackson and a white plastic bag? One is white and plastic and dangerous to children. The other is a white plastic bag.
What's more fun than spinning a baby around on a clothesline at 100 miles per hour?
What?
Stopping with a baseball bat.
We did the pedophilia. How do you make an 8-year-old boy cry twice? You wipe your bloody dick on his teddy bear.
Oh, damn. Well, it looks like Dustin, the asshole, the lamp, is our winner. But you can vote and let us know which joke you thought was the funniest. And give us a couple of your own that we weren't thinking of, because you're going to use the internet, cheaters.
I love little girls, they make me feel so good. I love little girls, they make me feel so bad. When they're around, they make me feel like I'm the only guy in town. I love little girls, they make me feel so good.
Well, that's it for episode 2 of Hater and Gamer. Join us next week when we have, via satellite, an actual Klingon warrior poet to give us some of his love poetry. And we debate the 110 uses of household butter. Once again, this is Robert Williams, the hater.
Charles Bigham, the gamer.
And Dustin Velasquez, and I still love lamp.
Bitches.